Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And my guest today, the infamous Brad Blackerby, ex-chief of Jerseyville, city of Jerseyville.
That's right.
Welcome, Brad.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. You always kind of remind me of whenever you were police chief of Jerseyville.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Andy Griffith style.
Yeah, that's me.
I mean, you're very calm, cool, collected. You never got excited about much of anything.
Well, I
don't think you ever got excited about anything.
Oh, well, you didn't see behind the scenes all the time. I get fired up a little bit. But no, I just...
Okay, that being said, who is your Barney Fife?
Who's my Barney Fife?
Who is your Barney Fife? You know, Andy Griffith had Barney Fife.
Yeah.
Did you have one of those? Maybe Parker.
Probably Rip Crotchett.
Rip Crotchett.
Yeah, he kind of great police officer for many years, but he just.
Well, how was he?
He's just a small town police officer and just knew everybody and And when I started, he was, towards the end of his career, but yeah.
All right. Did he ever work for the county or was it always with the city?
I don't think. Not that I know of.
Okay.
No, not that I know of.
All right.
He was with the city a long time though.
And you were police chief. Mm-hmm. For 21 years.
21 years as police chief and 30 years, 6 months or so with the department.
Total with the department?
As a police officer, yeah.
Okay. Yep. And you grew up here in town?
I did,
yeah. What'd you do after you got out of high school?
After high school, I went straight to Lewis and Clark, where I studied law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And,
did you, growing up, what made you kind of want to go into law enforcement? Anything in particular? Because your dad, Kenny, right?
In car sales.
Car sales, right?
Yeah.
And you were like, say, hey, I'm not going to car sales.
No, I worked there all through high school. Black
Did you?
Automotive, yeah.
Yeah.
Worked there all through high school. And, but no, I don't know. I think it was about my junior year in high school where, you start thinking about what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And law enforcement kind of came up and... Rick Blackerby, I knew him, and he was always a police officer for Jerseyville.
Okay.
He was a lieutenant. And so, I don't know, just looking at different options, and I think one day we were just kind of talking in high school, different options, and law enforcement came up, and I'm like, you know what, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's go that direction. And that's where I did.
Yeah, and stuck with it.
Yeah.
Stayed with it.
Yeah.
But you recently retired.
I did. October.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's going on? What's the job that you have now?
I'm actually the executive director of the Unified Child Advocacy Network, which is short for UCAN, so we'll just refer to it as UCAN. But it's an organization that I worked with for many years as a police officer. It's a great organization, and they're all throughout the state of Illinois. They're child advocacy centers throughout Illinois. And they work with law enforcement, state's attorneys, DCFS, and they're partners with them, basically. And we help children who have been sexually abused or seriously physically abused. And we assist all these other agencies. And when we talk to these children, they don't have to go sit at a police department or a state's attorney's office. They come to our office, which is comfortable and friendly, child-friendly.
Yeah.
And we've got interviewers, forensic interviewers are called, and they can talk to these children in a safe environment. And then
they get them relaxed.
Yeah, they get them relaxed and they can share. And we also have victim advocates who help the children any way they can. And if they need counseling, then we can refer them to that. And we also work with the families through the process. So I've got two great employees, Hannah Becker, who is our interviewer, and Jenna Grummel, who is our advocate, and they do great work. But I'm the director. I do most of the other thing as far as grant work, because we're ran by grants and donations.
Really?
That's how we're ran, through the state of Illinois. And so it's a great organization, and we need to – and I don't think a lot of people are familiar with it.
No.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
We kind of do the work behind the scenes. It's not like we want to – put ourselves out there and say, but we need to kind of let people know because we are ran by donations and grants, which I take care of through the state. But Yeah, we're probably going to do a fundraiser soon for it.
Yeah, so. That's what I wondered, if you're doing a fundraiser.
Yeah,
well, if you do one, we'll get it promoted.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Now, how does a child, okay, a young child, how does a young child finally get to you guys? What happens?
Through referrals, either through law enforcement or DCFS.
I know, but, I mean, you're living in a household. You're a young kid, and you're getting abused. I mean, if you don't know any better, how does a kid?
Sure.
Is it something like a relative or a neighbor notices the abuse and lets the police know, and then they know?
It's reported some way by somebody.
Okay.
You know, whether it's to the police or whether it's to the CFS.
Teachers, maybe?
Teachers. And all those people are mandated reporters. So if something's said or something believed that's happened, that it's gonna get reported, and then one of those agencies that we partner with is gonna contact us to set up this interview with the children, and you know,
is that tough? Do you have to get permission from the parents to interview the child?
Yeah, absolutely. or a caregiver, whoever the caregiver, parent, or whoever's taking care of the child. Yeah, and we want to keep them part of the process. You know, and keep them updated and everything, because we're there to help. We're not there, you know. We're there to help the child, and that's what we want to do. Part of healing for these children is being heard.
Yeah,
you know. So if we can help that process and help the healing, that's what we're there for.
I know, of course, there's sexual abuse, but physical abuse. Is just beatings, or what are we talking? Oh, can be.
It's anywhere. It can be anything. You know, it's just a child can't. Some child, they're not there to. If somebody's not looking out for the best interests of that child, and things are going south, and there's abuse that's reported, then that's when they'll call us. We have to determine, or the police have to determine, what is abuse. You know, if they want to pursue this, then they'll contact us, and then we'll get the child in and talk to them and see what, actually was going on. But it's a wide range of things that can happen, unfortunately.
What would you suggest, for example, a neighbor or a relative, somebody close to the family, and they notice the abuse, they notice something, you know, that's not right for the kid, right? Maybe it's even a friend of their own child that comes over to play or something. And, what would be the steps that they would, take in order, cause they don't necessarily want the parents to know that they're telling on them, but they want to help the child.
Right.
What is the direction they go? What do they do?
Well, I mean, they need to report.
To the police?
Yeah. They can call the police department.
Or can they call
DCFS.
Your office?
They can definitely call our office. Our initial thing is going to be to call the local police department, whoever has jurisdiction over that area, to start a formal report and go that route. Yeah. But we'll definitely pass that on. Absolutely.
Okay. So it's a very rewarding job.
It is. We're there to make that process go smoother for the family and for the children, and then also assist law enforcement, DCFS, state's attorney's offices in that process also.
Okay.
A child doesn't have to go sit at a police department or a state's attorney's office, and when they can come see us, and then we can share that with them.
I see.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Brad Blackerby with me, ex-police chief at City of Jerseyville, and can you give the name of your company again, or the organization you work for?
I can. It's a Unified Child Advocacy Network.
Yeah.
You can.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Do you got a phone number?
I do. 639-8222. 618-639-8222. They can reach us through any of the – we're actually over five counties. We're over Jersey, Greene, Calhoun, Macoupin, and Montgomery.
Okay.
So they can also reach out to any of their law enforcement in that area, and they can also reach out to us. Yeah, I can give them my phone number if they need anything. But if they need assistance with something, feel free to call.
Okay. Yeah. Now back to you. Let's talk about your family.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Four kids.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. Married to beautiful Amber.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I remember Amber. She worked for us at the hotel and the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I notice Brad would come in and check on things at the bar. I'd be going, you're here again.
Yeah. You blame me?
I was like,
what? No, what's up? I mean, we're talking like 1996 or something. Your memory's going back to 1996, I think. Yeah.
I could just remember that. You know, like, hello, Brad. What's yeah. up? Somebody call you or something going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Checking on things. Yeah, okay. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but I did see you a lot more often.
Absolutely. For some reason. Well, that was a fun place to go.
Yeah, that's true.
I spent a lot of time in there, after hours, you know, after work.
Yes, but I would see you in uniform once in a while.
Well, we got calls there a lot.
You guys are a great couple. And you have some great kids.
Yeah, Amber's awesome.
She is awesome. Yeah. She is so sweet.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, you guys. And Amber, she works in the medical field.
She does.
Yes. Yep. What actually does she do in the medical field?
She's a practicing manager, which she's the manager of OSF office in Godfrey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she manages that practice, and they have several different things there. I mean, there's like pediatrics, and I should have her. You should have her on here.
I will talk to her,
but she's over like general, just your regular doctor visits. She's going to kill me for just explaining it that way because I don't know the proper terms, but they have several, she's like three or four things there that she's over and she does a great job.
Yeah. And as far as the children go, who's the oldest?
Parker.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll save him for last. Okay. Who's the youngest?
Belle.
Tell me about Belle. Well, what's Belle up to? She's a beautiful girl. I knew she was into acting, too.
She did some theater. Yeah, she did like Rocky Horror last year at Altmo Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So she does it just for fun here and there.
Uh-huh. And what is she up to as far as?
She is actually graduating this Saturday from SIUE. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And a degree in what?
It's a history degree.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then Cruz. Mm-hmm. Cruz Blackerby works here at the station.
He does.
He does our editing and a lot of other things as far as anything to do with music or recordings.
He loves the music. Loves doing anything with music. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're saying he is a heck of a musician, right?
Oh, he can play guitar really good, yeah.
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 And any other instrument?
Yeah, pretty much. He's got a good ear. He can just kind of pick it up. And him and Belle both. And and Jet. So
Jet. And what's Jet up to?
Jet's living out in New York right now. He went to college in Cincinnati, and he moved out to New York, and he's working a couple jobs out there and just kind of doing his thing out there right
now. Did he get on Broadway or anything?
No,
is he acting?
He's not done that yet. He's done a few. I mean, he's walked, like last week he walked in a runway show. So he's doing some modeling as far as walking runway shows, you know, stuff like that. But he's working a couple different jobs, and he's just kind of enjoying life out there right now, making his way. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And then there's Parker, right?
Yeah.
We didn't skip any, did we?
No. No, we got them all.
Parker. You know, COVID closed us down, right, at George's when I was there. And we were closed, and I was doing a lot of renovation and stuff while we were closed down.
Yeah.
But I had... We were going to reopen, and we were going to open up. I had an idea that I was going to open up for lunch, okay? Because we hadn't been open for lunch, and I wanted to open up for lunch, and I wanted to do a speedy lunch where people could come in and get off our menu, get in and get out within 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, my main mission was Parker. I was going to get Parker to run the lunch show, and then, and then Rich ended up being his sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
But We had so much fun at lunchtime.
Yeah,
it was so fun. We, you know, just in and out, and Parker was all over the place.
He was nonstop. I remember.
Oh gosh, yeah,
he was moving quick.
He's got energy.
Yeah. Anybody listen, if they ever frequented there at the time, they probably remember Parker at least jumping over the bar at least once.
Oh yeah, I
know. <I'd> say, he would take a shortcut and go right over.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Parker. I mean, he would jump over that bar. It was like something to see.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like people would go in there and they'd be kind of waiting around. I wonder if he's going to jump over the bar today. And he would leap up to one hand down and just kind of like high jump roll, you know, like the Western roll, do the Western roll right over the bar and land on the other side.
Yeah.
And then he'd go to a table and people would just get the biggest kick out of that. Of course, I was like, Parker, dude, I don't want you jumping over the bar.
I told him the same thing.
Don't like, do that.
If you do that and you break an ankle, I am out of it. I mean, I'm out of my guy. I got to have you, so I can't keep you safe.
Absolutely.
Either that or I got to tape your ankles before you work. I don't know. But yeah,
he's hard to wrangle.
Oh, you know, he's fun. Yeah, he's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So, we got a few minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In your career as being, you know, you worked your way up. You started off in law enforcement. You started off at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And you worked your way up to the top. What advice can you give young people who are in whatever organization you're in,
mm-hmm.
okay, how to work your way up the ladder? What can you say?
You know, I just find what your goal is. You know, and that was my goal from the time I became a police officer.
Is that right? 100%. You wanted to be chief?
100%. Yeah.
I'll be
darned. Some people don't, and that's okay,
yeah.
too. You know, but that was my goal. And so when you do your work, do a good job at it and keep the goal in sight and just keep moving forward, and you can find it.
Yeah. You can pick where you want to be and end up there. I'll be darned. That's good. How long was it before you got hired as police chief?
Well, I was a police officer in the city for 7 years. I think about
in
seven.
In the city?
In the city of Jerseyville.
Okay.
For Jerseyville Police Department.
For 7 years.
And then I went to the Illinois State Police, I don't know, probably a year and a half or so.
Why'd you make the move?
It was just the opportunity arose. And
was the money better?
The money was better, yeah.
Maybe better benefits or just a better, maybe a better job.
Sure, yeah. And I knew a lot of troopers. I worked with them back then too, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. And it just kind of, the opportunity arose. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try this out. And it was a good job.
Yeah.
But after doing it, I kind of realized that I just missed this type of work I used to do.
Uh-huh.
And because, you know, I enjoyed investigating and I enjoyed... and I enjoyed the local, being here in Jerseyville too. Not that I didn't enjoy that job, but it was just, as far as law enforcement goes, this is where my heart was.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know unless you experienced something else. Absolutely. And it wasn't like I planned on coming back to Jerseyville, but the opportunity just kind of arose where a position opened back up in the city of Jerseyville. And at the time I was talking to the mayor, Mayor Whitman at the time.
Yeah.
And we just kind of started talking, and well, I think Chief Bridges was chief then. I got hired under Chief Wolfel, Tom Wolfel, but at that time Chief Bridges, and we just kind of started talking and agreed that, yeah, we'd like to have you back. I'd like to come back. So I was back in Jerseyville.
I'll be done.
Yeah.
Now, you came back to Jerseyville. How long did you work as a policeman before you got to be chief?
Well, that was probably 2002. So I became chief in 2004.
Oh, mm-hmm. 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chief Bridges retired, and the position was open, and I interviewed. I mean, I bet there was probably 10 of us that interviewed, and mm-hmm. it was in front of probably a 20-person panel where we interviewed, and so I ended up getting the job.
Why do you think you were chosen as the one to be police chief? What would you say?
You know, I couldn't tell you. Mayor Hartman was the mayor at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Whitman had retired. Mayor Hartman was the mayor, but she had a big panel of people there. I don't know. I offered longevity to the department. Some of the other guys who were interviewing were, you know, kind of later in their career. A couple that weren't, you know. But I think I just offered, and it worked out because I was there 21 years as chief.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, you know, I let them know. I would say they had confidence in me as a police officer. I'd done it there, mm-hmm. you know, and they took me back on, and they wanted me back on, and I wanted to go back. But so, yeah, I don't know. I just think it was the right timing. I interviewed actually for that job on the day my daughter Belle was born.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so I was on cloud nine that day anyway.
Yeah.
So, I went in there. It was a good interview. I think it all just kind of lined up and it worked out. I was supposed to.
What tips or suggestions can you give to those people that start in, you know, you were in it for 21 years, all right?
I'm sure you're 30 years.
As chief.
As chief, yeah.
Yeah. In that leadership role, what are some inside tips or advice you might give to people starting off, things that they need to do in order to maintain that leadership role?
Yeah, you just got to find a way to, because when you're over 20, 30 people, you know, you got to find a way to interact with all these people. And you're not going to make them happy all the time. And I'm just talking internally, not you know.
Yeah, right. I know. That's what I'm talking about internally.
Internally, you just got to find a way to work because you have a lot of different personalities, a lot of different people. So you got to be willing to listen. Willing to listen to your staff because you rely on those people to do the job, to do a good job for you. And I think if you just – I was always fortunate where we had really good police officers, I think, mm-hmm. and in my opinion. And so I had really good staff around me too and who I worked really good with. So I think if you just treat people how you'd want to be treated – you know, if I would go in there and yell at people or scream at people, that's – what's that going to get you?
Yeah.
You know? So when there is an issue, you just deal with it and you talk. And I think you just it's about working with people and wanting the best. And in the long run, you're going to do whatever's best for that department.
Right.
And as long as everybody's on that same page, you know, that's why we're doing it, for the community, for the department. You know, people jump on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, it's been – very nice having you. It's been a long time getting in here.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it.
Yeah. Any last words of wisdom to the folks out there? The city of Jerseyville, you've been the police chief for many years. Now you're working at another great job. Anything you want to say?
No, I just think I appreciate over the years of being chief, just appreciate the working with the community and the opportunity to be a police officer in this town for that long is kind of rare, I think. And I'm happy to be a part of that. And I want to, you know, I worked under five different mayors and a lot of different council members.
Yeah.
So I appreciate all of them and all the people my staff I had around me and that worked with me so long I want to thank all of them. So we just had a good run, and I was happy to do it.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure knowing you and being
Same.
Associated with you. And I'll let you get back to work.
Appreciate it.